Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hi, everyone. It's Belinda Ellsworth with Work From Your Happy Place, and we've got a great show in store for you today. I have Jason Miles with me, and Jason is Udemy's most popular e-commerce instructor and the adjunct professor of online marketing at Northwest University. Jason has authored three best-selling books with McGraw-Hill on the topic of social media. As the co-founder of several companies, he's sold millions online, and he's passionate about helping others grow their online business. Jason's popularity stems from his willingness to discuss his own e-commerce metrics candidly. His site, pixiefair.com, averages 50 to 60,000 transactions a month, is in the top 0.1% of all Shopify sites based on worldwide site traffic, has 82% repeat customer rate, and has an average conversion rate of 27.5%. While Jason has sold millions online, he is most passionate about the startup phase, branding, social media, and the transformational power an online business can have in the lives of hardworking people as they turn their dream into reality with proven techniques and practical online marketing strategies. It is my pleasure to welcome Jason.
Wow, thank you.
I know, that was impressive.
Wow. Yeah, that's fun, right?
Yeah, for sure. And so I'm excited to dig in here and find out more. Because I know that this is a space that a lot of people, especially entrepreneurs, are really trying to figure out, even including ourselves here at Step Into Success. So it is a constant journey of growing and learning, and we're really excited to hear from you today.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's really an honor to be able to be here. Happy to answer questions and tell our story and talk about e-commerce. Love it.
Oh, fantastic. Well, why don't we start with just letting people get to know you a little bit more and tell us a little bit more about yourself and sort of fill in on the gaps of this bio.
Sure. Yeah, well, I had basically a 20-year nonprofit career. I was a nonprofit manager. I spent 16 years in a big charity called World Vision and then 4 years at a university. But in 2008, we needed more money. Charity incomes aren't all the best. So we were desperate and really needed to make more money. And my wife had a 3-hour window from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. every day where our youngest had gone into, you know, kindergarten, where she had the time to make some money. All things being equal, probably wouldn't have been better if she could have just relaxed. But we were desperate. So we started figuring out how she could sell online. And that was in February of 2008. And we just celebrated our 10-year anniversary of selling online. And the effort that went into it 10 years ago really just blossomed into a thriving e-commerce company. And I was able to retire from the 9-to-5 on January 1st, 2014. And I've gone from there. So that's just a little bit about how we got started. Yeah,
that's exciting. You know, some of the best things always come out of a true necessity. And that really is so true. I find that in talking to people that from doing something that they needed to do, they became better at it and more passionate about it. And then were able to transition that into helping others. So I think that that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Good. So tell us a little bit then about your business and how it has shaped your lifestyle.
Sure. Yeah. We run a fun little business. We have a weird corner of the internet that we operate in. We actually are a catalog business, if you will, of sewing patterns. So pixiefair.com is the marketplace. We have about 2,400 digitally downloadable sewing patterns on the site. And then we also have online courses and a membership program. So the online courses are all sewing related type things. And then the membership program is called Sewing with Cinnamon. My wife's name is Cinnamon, just like the spice. And so it's just sort of a funny little corner of the internet, although sewing is not a small category. A lot of people still do it. Some people ask if it's still a thing, and it is still a thing. And so our business has really scaled around that specific niche.
That's awesome. Yeah, my 14-year-old just did a sewing project, and I didn't know that they were still teaching that in school either.
Yeah.
And so she made something, and she was so thrilled with herself over that. And they made, like, pants that had pockets in them and everything, like sort of like pajama pants or lounging pants, if you will. And I'm thinking, that's different than the days when we made pillows and aprons.
Now, I saw in your background that you did some crocheting in the past, huh?
I have done some crocheting. I really loved embroidering. And because, and this is interesting, and a lot of people don't know this about myself, but I was always really tiny, just like my daughter is. And to find nicer clothes when I was a teen was very, very difficult. And so I started taking, like, private sewing lessons. They used to have these sewing lessons.
Yeah.
Singer did. They put them out. And I took those when I was a young teen, like 13. And in my, like, 10th grade, 11th grade, those years, I made a good majority of my clothes.
Wow.
And the one outfit that I have on, when I met Mary Kay Ash when I was only 15 years old, I made that suit.
Oh, wow.
I know. And it matched her suit identically, which is so funny. But I do think it is a lost art. I think there's a lot of people that don't do it. And there's just a lot of reward in that. Yeah. Absolutely.
And crocheting is still huge. Actually, there's a big, big trend in crochet right now called amigurumi. Have you heard of that?
I have not.
It's basically where you use crochet to do little, like, almost like stuffed animals. Really, really cute stuff. It's actually mesmerizing how many interesting little animals and all kinds of little, you know, kind of small stuffed animal type patterns, all crochet based.
Oh, that's neat.
Anyway, there you go.
I know. I see constantly people on airplanes now, you know, crocheting or knitting.
Yeah.
I just had a woman sitting next to me in first class the other day, last week, knitting and a blanket for a baby. And it was like, I do think that is coming back to life as well.
Yep, I totally agree.
Well, that's awesome. So you just celebrated your 10-year anniversary. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
It's super exciting.
Thank you.
So what are two of your greatest skill sets that you think that you, and you can even share with your wife about your wife as well, that have really helped you guys in being successful with this business?
Yeah, I mean, I think the beginning of our journey was really her having a very, very unique skill set. She didn't realize it at the time, but she actually had a mom who worked at a fashion house and taught her to sew at what you might call a real high, high proficiency level. Just as a child. So then, you know, my wife started making doll clothes for our daughters, and all the moms were like, where did this stuff come from? It's insanely good. And she had that core talent. My core talent was really more general marketing, branding, copywriting. I had spent 20 years in nonprofit management and really mostly on the fundraising side. So I had that trade skill. Neither of us knew e-commerce. But her technical skill and then my general marketing skill really was, I think, the winning combination that allowed us to begin to figure out how to scale. You know, I would always obsess over the brand related issues and she would obsess over the work, and it worked. It clicked together effectively. And I honestly, she says she would have never built a business out of it if I didn't help her. But I always say I would have never built a business because if I didn't have something to sell, you know?
Absolutely.
So it worked together pretty well. So
that's great. And now you do this and you help others build their online platforms?
We do, yeah. You know, Shopify is the marketplace tool that we use for our website. And the Shopify folks started telling our story in 2014. They did a blog article about us. It was entitled How One Couple Makes $600,000 a Year Selling Digital Goods. And in their sales system, I think for their onboarding process, they had that blog post be prominently featured for onboarding purposes, and it just stayed at the top of their popularity list. They have a sorting feature for their popularity of their blog articles. And so we just kept getting request after request for people who said, how did you do this? You know, tell us more about how you built your Shopify site and how we're getting so much traffic to it. And so we launched a Udemy course almost 2 years ago now. And so that's the number one best-selling Shopify course on Udemy. And it's basically installed me as the number one most popular instructor in e-commerce on Udemy, which a lot of people aren't familiar with Udemy, but it's basically a 20 million person platform, and it's getting bigger all the time for online training and courses. That's sort of how it came together. And then we're just blown away by the opportunity to help people. And we also have a charity that I could talk to you about that we also are scaling. But yeah, it's fun to be able to help people and work with people who are trying to figure out their product strategy and e-commerce strategies.
Absolutely. And it's not easy because I think you hear so many different, there's so many courses out there and so many people talking about it. And one person teaches it a different way than another person. Yeah. And it's confusing for a person that just wants to learn or needs more and is looking for that right tool. And I always say, somebody that's got really good results and you're sharing yours, that's a really good start in finding somebody that can actually help you
right.
Be able to do that. So I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you sure tell us a little bit about your charity. That's fine.
Oh, sure. So I was a 20-year nonprofit veteran guy. So that's just always been where my heart is. And most of it in sub-Saharan Africa. And we personally started supporting a school in a real challenging slum in Lusaka, Zambia. So we started doing that in 2009. And as the business grew, we just dedicated ourselves to having a portion of the proceeds go to support that school. It's about 1,500 kids. Two-thirds of them are orphans and half of them are HIV positive. So we were just super passionate about helping the moms, actually, because they wanted to create income to support the school. And so that was the journey we started in 2009, and it's scaled and scaled. The charity is called So Powerful, S-E-W, powerful.org. And we have people all around the world now helping us. We have a program that focuses on reusable feminine hygiene pads, and there's a purse that people can make and send into us. So it's sewing related in a way. And the cooperative of ladies in Zambia are all sewing school uniforms and reusable hygiene pads. They're paid for their work. And it's grown and grown. We have a vibrant program there now, and it's just fun to watch people around the world rally in support of this school and the community.
Well, that is awesome. That's very inspiring.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been, I think, probably the highlight of our lives, honestly. I think in 50 years, I think we hope people will remember So Powerful more than they remember Pixie Fair, to be honest.
Oh, that is great. So then the next question is, what's one of your most outstanding accomplishments or something that's meaningful to you? I would have to think that ranks right up there.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, I mean, that's probably the answer. I think we are continuously blown away by the people stepping up around the globe to partner with us. And I feel like that is one of our accomplishments, is basically taking a sewing activity, which is to make a purse. We've given away the pattern. And now we've basically unlocked the enthusiasm and joy and energy seamstresses have for their craft, but also tied it to a very, very meaningful missional purpose where they can really make a difference in the life of a girl who's, basically the program is designed to help girls stay in school all month, even when they're on their period, which is not what happens in these real poor communities. So the program gives huge meaning for seamstresses around the world. And obviously impacts the girls and the moms there that are sewing for the program as well. So, yeah, I would say that's probably the thing we're most proud of these days.
Oh, that is great. So tell us about an obstacle or challenge then that you faced and then how you worked through that.
Yeah. I think one of the hardest points for us probably was the period where the business was scaling quickly, but I was still working full time. And so I was, challenge for me. I was commuting basically an hour and a half each way to my job as senior VP of marketing at a university. And it was a good job, but the hour and a half commute each way was just brutal. So then it was like juggling how to do evenings and weekends with the business and still work full time. So I did that for 5 years. Before I was able to retire from the 9-to-5. And that 5-year window, I always say to people, man, this is, if you're going to do this right, in my opinion, you're going to have a long-term horizon, really think about building a brand that is sustainable for the long term. And I think that 5-year period helped us radically in terms of just investing into the business and not needing to take money out of the business. And so we could scale quickly. But It was a long 5 years, that's for sure.
I bet. You know, that is people's greatest struggle. And so I love that you're sharing that, because I think sometimes people feel like, I don't know, some people just have it lucky or whatever, but they're like, yeah. Oh, well, I have got to work full time. And so I wouldn't be able to dedicate this time to it. And it's like, well, you work whenever you can work.
Yeah.
You're at a place for 8 hours. Look, you had another 3 hour commute, basically. Yeah. And so you've got to find those pockets of time. I just think that some people aren't willing to put the work in, or, you know, have to sacrifice, because I'm sure there was a lot of sacrifice in that.
Yeah, and it really becomes an exercise in efficiency and really thinking through your own priorities, you know. So there's just tons of downtime. Obviously, a commute of an hour and a half each way gave me a lot of time to be on the phone and hands-free and a lot of time to listen to books on tape, which I consume. You know, Audible is like my favorite thing. And so I would listen to just tons and tons and tons of audiobooks and think about the business, even if I couldn't be working on it. With hands-on, I could at least be thinking about our plans and our strategies. In a way, that commute time was helpful in that regard. So, but yeah, I think it's about efficiency at the end of the day. And what you find, of course, is once you cut the strings and you go full-time into the e-commerce lifestyle or online selling lifestyle is, you know, you've always got a boss. And, you know, a lot of us are control freaks and we want to be our own boss. But at the end of the day, even when you have your own business, you're accountable to your customers, you're accountable to your partners, you're accountable to, you know, your family to make things happen. And, you know, you've got to be super diligent and efficient for those reasons.
Absolutely. And that is, I hear that all the time. I want to be my own boss. But you hit on a really, really important piece that I think people don't think about or lose sight of, because I'm my own boss. I've been in business for over 25 years. And yeah. My clients are my boss, in essence. You know, I can sort of create my schedule. I get to work from my home office and I can take off the time that I need. But by the same token, I've got deadlines to meet. I've got projects to finish. I've got things that I need to complete as the client has their projects they want completed. So yeah. I just think that people sometimes don't realize that there still is that accountability factor, even when you are your own boss.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I mean, if you can't be a super good employee, you're probably not going to be a good solopreneur. And I understand completely how it's not cool to be an employee, because, you know, all of us want the freedom of defining our own business and effort and having the work we do go to our own bottom line. Nonetheless, I mean, a lot of the core trade skills are the same. Efficiency, focus, goal setting, prioritization, all of those elements that can make you successful inside a business, a bigger business, not your business, help you also if you are in your own business.
That's fantastic. So the big question we always ask on the show is, what does working from your happy place mean to you?
You know, this is a hard question to answer, because my wife and I have really debated now for the last couple of years. We do have an office, a downtown location, where we have team meetings and product supplies and that kind of thing. But we also love to work from home. And we're really at this awkward position in our business life now, where we've got to decide, do we want a laptop lifestyle? Or do we want a whole squad of people who are expecting us to show up first and stay the latest and be there, be amongst it, you know, the group doing the work? And that's a really difficult decision to make. So I got to be honest, I think our happy place is working from our home offices and or laptop. We were just in Honolulu last week, got back a couple days ago, and we were working from there, and we love that kind of lifestyle. But the bigger our business gets, the harder it is to have that happen, you know, as we have a growing team. So that's hard. I think at a sort of metaphysical level, I think when I'm working from my happy place, I'm working on a long-term strategy and working on, you know, specific business goals and planning work that really helps shape our efforts. And I'm not in the weeds on the tactical stuff. And, you know, for me, for my happy place, it's really about strategy and positioning, branding, those types of activities. And that's what I think I bring to the party for our team. That's my happy place.
Oh, that's great. And I think that's a really great point. And I think I'd love it if you would just expound on that a bit, because I see this with companies that I consult with as well. But, and even we find ourselves getting down in the weeds here at Step Into Success. Yeah. And that is, you've got to carve out this time for the creativity and the new projects and what is going to be the next thing that's going to take us where we want to be, sort of having that long-term vision or goal and dedicating time to that every day, because you can always find busy work and there's always going to be like, and I find myself getting trapped in it. Okay. And then the day is gone. And it's so funny, and I feel sorry for her, but we have this co-op student and she arrives here at 2 o'clock. That's so the rest of her work day. She works from 2 to 5. So she finishes school and she gets here. And every one of us, when she walks in the door, we go, oh, because we know it's 2 o'clock and the day is getting away from us. And it's like, we hate watching her walk in the door because it hits us that it's 2 o'clock. And she goes, gosh, you guys. And so I'm like, we gotta quit doing that to her.
Well, what you're describing, I think, is a real, so early in my career, I was a compensation analyst. Mm-hmm. So I spent basically 8 years in human resources and then 8 years as a major gift fundraiser. And then the last part of my corporate life, I was in charge of marketing, fundraising, and human resources. So when I was a compensation analyst, I was a job description writer, and I would work with managers for their organizational chart structure issues. And so I've always had that core trade skill. And I guess I brought that to our party when we started our company. And I really said, you know, how do we best grow, you know, as a team? And how do we find what the phrase I like to use is everyone's highest and best use of their time? And, you know, that's a hard thing to do, especially if you're a solopreneur, because the first question you have is like, what is the first hire I should make, even if it's a, you know, 1099 contractor or freelancer or whatever, a virtual assistant. And the real question, even at that first initial step, is do you hire into your weaknesses or do you hire into your strengths? And I think the prevailing wisdom from the smartest people on this subject say that you should actually hire into your strengths, interestingly, because, you know, you basically got an opportunity to replace yourself in an area that you're strong in, where you've mastered a skill set. And you add people to your team that you can train with effectiveness. But then the question is, how do you get your weaknesses covered as well? And so you've got to work through that piece of it. But anyway, so it's a challenging set of decisions. And so many entrepreneurs get hung up there not knowing how to build a team. And I wouldn't say I don't feel competency in that area. I feel every day like I haven't built effective teams. And yet this is something I think about a lot. And like everything else, it's something that's a trade skill you get better at over time as you work on it.
I agree. And I love that about hiring to your strengths, because I can sit and think about the times where I've done that and the times where I haven't done it. And it's always worked out better when I have done it to my strengths. Yep. Absolutely. Like now that you're saying that, I'm like, wow. I mean, I can sit and think about people specifically. Yep. And then we really formed a good team. And what was really great about that is, because of that, they were all willing to learn other things as I was learning other things too. And so we kind of built a really strong team that everybody knew how to do everything for the most part. Yeah. And some of them were really strong in particular areas, but anybody could jump in and fill in for somebody else at any given time, which was very helpful, because once you start really, you know, creating this sort of niche area and that person's gone, then you're kind of left with a big gaping hole.
Yeah. And a lot of people ask the opposite question, like, well, why won't I hire into my weaknesses? And the reason I like to say to people is, if you, let's just say we're incompetent at a certain duty, which I'm happy to list mine, but we could all list duties that we're incompetent at. If you hire somebody who is good in that area, they'll be working for a fool. And generally speaking, really good people will not tolerate working for someone who's incompetent in a specific trade skill for very long. So what you'll find is, you want to hire somebody who takes over for your area of weakness, but it becomes a real tension point and real friction problem where they're demanding competency of you because ultimately you're responsible. And yet you can't give them guidance. You can't give them proper management and they'll bounce. And it just ultimately won't work. So this is a real, real difficult milestone to work through and get past as you're starting your business. It's hard work.
Wow. I would agree with that wholeheartedly. And that was super great advice for our listeners.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was. So that brings us to our next question. So I'm sure you've got some more, but what advice would you give to those who want to be entrepreneurs that are saying, you know, I want to have this online presence, or I would love to have an e-commerce site, or I would love to start my own business? Like, what kind of advice would you give them on that?
Yeah, I was there, first of all. I remember, so let me just, one quick story on this,
okay.
And then I'll give us a few practical things. I remember hearing about a guy in 1998 who was making $1,000 a day on the internet. You know, back then, all you had was like AOL and CompuServe and stuff like that. It was before YouTube, Google, I mean, before everything. And he was making $1,000 a day. And I was desperate. I was trying to find another part-time job to sort of, you know, try to survive financially. And I talked to him a little bit, and ultimately he only needed somebody for like 2 hours a week. So I didn't work with him, but for 10 years that rattled around in my brain, $1,000 a day on the internet.
Right.
And so I had that dream. I had that goal. So if you're listening to this today and you say to yourself, I have that goal, I have that dream. I was there for 10 full years, and the loop I got into for 10 years where I was stuck was I didn't know what to sell. And I would have these visions of this idea. Like one time I had this idea of inflatable camping furniture. I was like, oh, this could be great. It could be huge. Well, I didn't know how to source camping furniture, or I didn't know anything about any of these things. And ultimately, when we actually made traction and we made our first breakthrough, it was because my wife was good at something, making doll clothes size items. And we just said, look, let's just try to sell this on eBay. And so for us, just selling something that was unique was enough for us to get sort of traction, get our first foothold, and get out of the, you know, analysis paralysis phase and get into the doing something phase. And so I think that's my probably number one suggestion is do anything that's online selling. If you have the dream of being an online seller, I don't care if it's drop shipping or private label, if it's affiliate marketing, if it's writing a Kindle book, doing anything and learning the process of selling on a platform, selling to a specific customer group, how to actually get, you know, in your product in front of people will teach you so much. And you might correct course 20 times, but who cares? You'll be on the path. You'll be actually doing something rather than just thinking about it. So I think that's my number one suggestion.
Well, that is great. So share with us then some exciting things that you're working on right now that our listeners might benefit from. And then, of course, we'd love you to share where our listeners can find you.
Oh, sure. Yeah. All of my work and blogging and all that kind of stuff is available on winningonshopify.com. And so I do blogging there. We do weekly video sessions that we record and post there. And so that's sort of the home base for us for all of our e-commerce related training. And we have one-on-one coaching. We have an inner circle program, those types of opportunities. The thing that we're working on right now that we'll be launching just in a couple of days is a new course with some exciting partners. We're partnering up with a couple people, and we're focusing on Shopify course related specifically to private label products and drop shipping. And we're going to go deep into both of those product strategy systems and show people how to build a Shopify site using private label strategy and do a different one using drop shipping strategy. And so the partners are Ryan Rager and Jenny Hunt. They're well known for private label. The Easy Way is their program. And then my business partner on the Udemy and teaching stuff is named Kyle Hamer. He's a top Amazon seller. So all four of us are going to work together, and we're going to have this course for our Inner Circle program specifically, and then ultimately it will end up on Udemy in a few months. But our Inner Circle program, people get access to it. So that's, I think it's going to be really, really fun. We're going to build two sites Camping the Easy Way and Outdoor Theory. These two websites are going to be built, and people will see exactly how they're put together using both private label and drop shipping business models.
So, wow, that's exciting.
Yeah. It should be really fun.
And then I see here in your notes, you have Instagram as a sales channel.
Yeah, we actually have, you know, Shopify is a unique platform, and I'm like the ultimate Shopify fanboy. If you're not familiar with Shopify as a platform, it basically is a tool designed by online sellers or, you know, entrepreneurs, and it now has something like 650,000 websites that have been built on. It's really designed for e-commerce selling. Well, one of the things they've done over the last 6 months or 12 months is started to unlock these integration sales channels with various partners. So you can basically list all your product on your Shopify site, and it's under your own domain name. So it would be Outdoor Theory or, you know, Camping the Easy Way or whatever. And then you can unlock sales channels on a whole host of marketplaces and platforms, including pushing your product straight to Amazon, to eBay, to House, which is a furniture brand e-commerce platform, to Instagram, to Facebook Marketplace. So Shopify's really done a tremendous job of beginning to unlock these sales channels. So you really treat your website as a home base for your product selling effort, and then you push it out to all the various sales channels, which is really, I think, as it should be. So you're not running around trying to list your products on 50 million different, you know, online marketplaces. And Instagram is one of the ones that you can sell on now. It works great.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, gosh, yeah. This has been a wonderful interview. Thanks so much, Jason, for joining us today. And you have given our listeners a lot of pearls of wisdom. So thank you so much for your time.
Well, it's an honor. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Okay. And do you want to give your website one more time where they can locate you?
Sure. WinningOnShopify.com is where you can check us out and see all of our prior videos, our blog content, Inner Circle, and even one-on-one coaching if that's of interest. Sure.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Yep. Take care.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.